I'd like to start by reminding everybody that the Australian environment is characterised by major episodic events, and they are commonly drought, fire and flood, in that order. And if we look very carefully, we can see what are really the ecological shadows of those events that have been occurring for millennia. The Australian environment, as the Australian flora and fauna at least, have evolved over millennia, of course, to be adapted to those kind of major episodic events. And it's not just over the last 40 or 50,000 years since Aboriginals have settled Australia, but much longer than that. And what we see in relation to the flora and fauna now is the result of that long-term adaptation. The invasion, I guess, of Aboriginals into this country also coincided, of course, with the loss of the megafauna. And so the way in which they interacted with the country produced some changes way back then. The photographs that I put up here demonstrate the effects of the fires in the Cotter River catchment nearby. On the left-hand side, a native vegetated catchment, on the right-hand side, the pine plantations down around the Cotter Reservoir, which back then wasn't part of Canberra's water supply but is now being reinstituted. A couple of points I wanted to make about this. One is that the nature of the roads through the system, and there have been very many studies done in relation to forestry and fire with access roads, and roads are the primary source of sediment into rivers and streams in these sorts of areas. The second part is that as we go on and the areas rehabilitate, you will see that native areas rehabilitate themselves and quite quickly, whereas the pine areas don't. As John pointed out, we can get very significant sediment produced from the catchments when they're bare and the soils have been sterilised. There's no root hairs or microbes holding them together. And that sediment, of course, can enter the rivers and have quite major impact. I would put to you that the problems that we face in the country here about these major episodic events are problems that are related to human occupancy and use. They're not problems for the environment per se. The environment's adapted to them. Now, what we see here in the upper photograph is the flows in the Cotter River before the fires and then the flows afterwards, where the water utility, doing their best to manage the situation in a fairly unknown circumstance that they found themselves in, shut the flows down because they didn't want the sediment and ash and other nutrients and things to run into Canberra's water supply reservoirs. The nearby Goodradigbee River down below that, before and after the fire, and as John pointed out and Rob, you can get a lot more water off a catchment after it's burnt and you reduce the evapotranspiration. So the flows were much higher in the Goodradigbee River, which is essentially unregulated. What sort of effects did that shutting down the flow have? Well, it's black and white. The work that we did there looked at the algal growth on the tops of rocks and the collected sediment and other nutrients. Remember, you've got a situation where you've got more nutrients, better light, low flow, so nothing scouring it off in the Cotter River, and that's the result. And, of course, you had a big section of river, 20 kilometres or more, full of that stuff, which then went into the reservoir and then caused the water supply to be shut down and the requirement to build a water treatment plant at Stromlo, fair expense to the local population. But the filter papers below that are ones from the Goodradigbee River, which demonstrate quite clearly when you have natural flows going through a system, the system can adapt to that. And I've no doubt that the sand slugs and sediment slugs that John showed, over time, without regulation and good flushes, will disappear from the system. The last one is, and this is results from an unregulated river, the Thredbo River, just demonstrate the response of the stream animals, and these are the animals that fish and platypus and other things depend on. Immediately after the fires, there's a huge spike in the numbers. They're responding to the food sources that they have available. when you have a cool fire, a lot of the leaf material and the like stays on the trees, just gets scorched, then drops off into the stream, and then the animals respond to that. And we tested specifically whether they like to have their food cooked or raw, and what turns out, they don't really care. Okay, they can get their nutrients from it just as well. What this demonstrates is a very rapid response to the nutrient input into the, in that case, an unregulated river as a result of those 2003 fires. And so, to conclude, I guess, the point is that we have a natural environment that is well adapted to major episodic events. They are commonly in that sequence of drought, fire and flood, and that the results or the problems that we're really dealing with are more to do with the interface between human occupation and use of that system rather than the effects of those major episodic events on the natural environment. The natural environment is actually quite well adapted to managing it. Sitting at a SOE, State of the Environment report meeting a while back, someone said, oh, the Cotter catchment has changed forever after the fire. And I said, yeah, it probably has. But this is a 1-in-100-year fire. Let's just say the catchment's 3 million years old. How many 1-in-100-year fires do you think we've had over the last 3 million years? It's a simple calculation. It's quite a lot. It has changed after the last fire, but not significantly in any way that was different from any one of those other 1-in-100-year fires before that. We are still left with a legacy, in this case, of rehabilitating the pine plantation areas all these years after the 2003 fires, whereas the native vegetation has regenerated itself within the matter of a couple of years. And so the land management interface with those major events is pretty significant in terms of how we have to approach it.